One. Warning. The NCNCW contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Oliver Queen.
You died. I went to your penalty.
The city is saving.
What happened to you? The right to remain silent.
I'm not a god anymore.
I'm from the future.
Because you can inspire
people. I'm in the future.
People.
My name is Barry Allen, and I am the fastest man alive.
Supergirl.
You people become a team.
Hey, cuz.
It's good to see you.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
None of you heroes. You're legends. You have failed this city.
Lucky enough. You gotta tell me if you love me or not. Love me or not. I'm wishing for you, I'm a lucky enough.
Hello and welcome. You are listening to DC on CW Supergirl Edition on Rain Man Digital, where we just keep jamming out to the music that we're playing instead of starting the show.
I was giving Nicole some time. Leave me alone.
If you're listening from your desktop, you can take us mobile by downloading the Rain Man Digital app, available in the iTunes App Store and Google Play. Simply search Rain Man Digital. You can also find us on demand through iTunes and Stitcher by searching DC on CW. Once you find us there, please go ahead and leave us a review. So as always, I'm your host, Lauren Alexander, and I have with me in the studio, Nicole Nance.
What's up?
And Bobby D.
Hello, hello.
So today we're going to be breaking down and discussing Supergirl Season 3, Episode 2, Triggers. A metahuman who uses people's fears against them is on a crime spree in National City, while Catco adjusts to being under a new hands-on owner.
So, before we get started, remember how last week you had the discussion about, like, do people watch broadcast or do they stream it?
Yeah.
When I put that out there to the listeners, it was almost 50-50 on the Instagram vote.
Yeah.
It shocked the hell out of me. I thought it would have been a lot more for streaming.
Honestly, I'm not entirely surprised. I've been pretty vocal about the fact that I don't think that CW Seed is great. I think it has issues. I think the streaming quality is never really great, even when I have good Wi-Fi. There's so many commercials, and you're watching the same promos for the same shows over and over. Show me different ones. Show me fewer of them. Tailor them better. I know they want to get people to branch out and maybe watch different shows than what they already are watching. But at the same time, if I watch 17 promos for...
Jane the Virgin?
Yeah, exactly. Jane the Virgin during one episode of Supergirl.
I hate Jane the Virgin.
I'm not going to want to watch it.
I don't care how many awards and how many people like
right.
you. I hate you right now. Stop interrupting my show.
Emmys be damned. I don't care. It's just, no. You know, I'm going to get burnt out on a show before I ever even give it a shot.
Yeah.
But whatever.
I don't know. I just thought it was interesting.
I mean, there are still plenty of people that have cable TV that watch it, you know, broadcast live. A lot of people just have DVR, and so they don't watch cable TV the same way anymore, but they have a bundle package with their internet service, and they have a DVR.
Yeah.
They watch it on their time. All right. So let's get into some news. This week, we got a much better look at Rain. And there's an article here from CBR saying Rain's superpowers will be a surprise. We have a quote from Andrew Kreisberg. And it says, "We hadn't seen someone become the villain and watched them sort of slowly transform, and we thought that was really interesting. So we've taken great pains in this first episode to introduce you to Odette's character, Samantha, and hopefully have you fall in love with her and then watch as she slowly becomes a nemesis for Kara. Considering her Kryptonian heritage, some may have assumed that she will have the same abilities as Supergirl and Superman. However, Kreisberg revealed that you'll definitely see some surprises in that regard. Hopefully, it's not straight up what people are expecting. As always, we've got a couple of really nice twists and turns." I don't know what they're going to do for her powers, but she seems very out of tune with them.
Yeah, I mean, is it going to be okay to go outside of what we think a Kryptonian, if it's this is a Kryptonian, what their power should be under the sun?
So, you know, Rain is a world killer. I mean, she's not a normal Kryptonian. She was experimented on, created, and given powers, like world-shattering abilities by the scientists that experimented her on Krypton. Experimented on her on Krypton. Like, it's she's not a normal Kryptonian.
Okay.
So I think they can absolutely go out of the realms of what we know a Kryptonian to be. She was created in like 2012. You know, she's a newer character, and we got to see some of her in that run of Supergirl. But honestly, they kind of have free rein here. And Kreisberg said, we tend not to do direct adaptations of the comic books. We take a bit of an idea and work it through our imaginations, and something new comes out on the other side. As much as Kara is on a journey, Samantha is on a journey too, and it gets just as much screen time as Kara's does, which I love. We'll get into that more later, but
yeah.
I feel like I'm probably not the only one. We have another article here from CBR. Arrowverse crossover set photo reveals Nazi Supergirl killing Nazis. All right. So I love it.
Before we ever started, Lauren's like, I wish she wasn't a Nazi because I like the costume.
I want to make that. I want to wear that, but I don't want that like SS on my chest. I don't want to be a Nazi. I just want to have a cool costume.
Like,
she's got a sweet mask too. Oh, it's so cool.
Yeah, I don't know. It made me laugh when you said that.
Well, and it's like there's, you know, we've seen. There's other photos, you know, from like the CW Seed animated thing and whatever. Freedom Fighters, the Ray and things like that. So she also, I mean, she was in Final Crisis number 2. And Final Crisis is a huge, huge storyline. Like, that's when she was introduced. She's awesome, but a Nazi. And that's a bummer. I don't know. And they really stuck to the comic costume.
Do you think it'll get backlash just kind of based on what's going on in the real world today?
Like, yeah, but so what?
It's just weird, you know, especially because we know the shows don't necessarily take a side all the time.
Here's the thing. Supergirl does take a side, though. And if no one has really thrown a fit about them and their views yet, I don't think the viewer base is going to freak out about Nazis having their asses kicked.
Unless she's flying around with a tiki torch.
You know what I mean? It's they have historically so far picked a side. They err on the side of, you know, feminism and equality, and they're more liberal than they are conservative. They choose sides on issues that are currently going on. I mean, look at the first episode. The premiere this season, they took, you know, pot shots at the POTUS. I don't think that if they are already doing that, I don't think that any new scandal is going to happen. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think a lot of people's excuses with this whole Nazi thing is, well, they're not really Nazis. They're racist, but they're not actually Nazis. Well, if you're running around shouting blood and soil, I'm sorry, you're a Nazi. I don't care if it's not World War II era. You're a Nazi. And that seems to be the excuse a lot of times is, well, they're not incinerating Jews, so they're not Nazis.
So to be a proper Nazi, you got to burn a Jew.
Right.
Okay.
That's it, class. You've now learned what it takes to be a real Nazi.
Oh, boy.
But honestly, I really don't see them getting backlash for this. I just really, really don't. I don't know. I'm excited.
Like you said,
it's
a cool look.
It's a really cool
look. Like, as unfortunate as what it means.
Well, what's interesting too is she's actually not in Final Crisis. Actually, she's not a doppelganger, a counterpart of Supergirl, but actually Power Girl. She was created using Power Girl's DNA. It was Power Girl and Overman, who's, you know, Superman in that Nazi world. So that's weird. And I kind of wonder if they're just going to ignore that or if we're ever going to see a Power Girl. I mean, they're probably going to ignore it in this instance. You know, Overgirl is probably going to have nothing to do with Power Girl.
Yeah.
But I wonder if we'll ever see Power Girl ever in this show. And I never really thought about that before, which seems weird considering she's like a doppelganger, sort of.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right, moving on. Off of Nazis.
Off of Nazis.
God, that's such a cool costume, though. Her mask looks... Anyway.
No, I like it.
I'm super into
Except
it.
Except for the Nazi symbol.
Except for the Nazi part. All right. Beautifulballad.org reported on a new project that some of the women of DC TV have created. Katie Lotz, I think this is her baby specifically, and the other girls have joined in. And it is called She-thority. They have an Instagram page up. They have a Twitter page up. And basically, I will just read the... And this is the shortest article ever written. The women of DC TV have come together to create She-thority, which is a place where women and those who identify as women can go to share their stories and read stories by the women of DC TV. Katie Lotz, Emily Bett Rickards, Candace Patton, Danielle Panabaker, Melissa Benoist, Kyler Lee, and more are all featured in this video explaining the new safe space, which that's kind of a buzzword or a buzz phrase. But to take part in the group, make a video sharing something you've learned, overcome, or answer some of the questions we'll be answering ourselves. You can also interview people you know whose story should be told. Basically, they created this video, and it's them talking and talking about, you know, we want to lift each other up. If you want to be featured, make a video. When women support each other, magic happens, which I think is great, which has been one of my favorite parts of Supergirl, which is, you know, she doesn't have catty relationships with other women. And I think too often on TV, it's portrayed that, like, well, that's just how women are. Women are naturally just catty and jealous and competing with each other. Well, not necessarily. If you don't like someone, you don't have to be in their life. Yeah. You know, any women that I'm like, you know what, you're really negative, or I just don't mesh with you on any sort of good level, they're not in my life. Even if we have mutual friends, we can be adults and be in the same room, but you don't have to be friends with someone, or you don't have to be involved in their life. So I just, that's something that's not often enough focused on in television, I think. And Supergirl does a great job of showing that women are just people. Big shocker, I know.
I'm a person?
We're just people, man. And we're just as capable of having friendships and relationships with people without necessarily being driven by jealousy or competition. So I think this is really cool.
Yeah, I just kind of wanted to put it out there, especially since, you know, this is our female-led show about our female main character. I figured, you know, this wouldn't be a good story for Legends, but just the fact that, again, the group of females that are on the DC TV have come together to do, like, this thing, especially in, like, this weird time of what's going on in Hollywood. I just thought the timing of it, you know, about speaking out and everything else.
So, also, I want to point out that this, even if you're not going to, you know, make a video and participate and whatever, their Twitter page is pretty rad because they share a bunch of stuff from different people, a bunch of, you know, uplifting things, which, you know, strive to succeed and all these different things. Like, if you're just looking for something positive to add to your Twitter feed, this might be it. You know, even if...
Wait, positivity on Twitter?
I
thought
know.
It was just like, this fucking sucks.
I think you're fucking stupid.
Well, why did you do that?
Actually,
nobody would.
Yeah. Do that forever.
Yeah.
No.
And, you know, even if you're not a woman, if you're feeling it, it's still cool. It's still a nice, open-minded, uplifting sort of feed of things. And, you know, I mean, they've got all these, like, okay, they shared an article. 12-year-old Maryland girl collected 500 cases of water for people of Puerto Rico affected by hurricanes. Like, that's just some positivity for your day of like, wow, that kid's kick ass. Regardless of gender, that kid's kick ass. Yeah. And they care about the world. So if you want to see something positive in your feed, this might be the place for that, whether you're a woman or not. And I think it's really cool that they did it. With that, let's take a quick break from the news. Let's talk a little bit about our Patreon, maybe?
No, we'll get there.
We'll get there?
Yeah.
I said I would try.
Do or do not. There is no try.
DC on CW. We'll be right back.
This is Star Wars from the Butter Tainted Skiff.
All I'm saying is that someday we may be ready for a rated R Star Wars. But right now, putting the Star Wars name on things where people are already confused with Rogue One, and now you're throwing a rated R rating, it's too much confusion. It's not about Disneyfying. It's about making sure the mainstream audience and general audiences understand what's going on. Can you imagine that, dude? You go to see Star Wars and it has a rated R rating on it. You're like, what?
Yeah.
What is this?
And on top of that, it's kind of like, for those people, those fans that want a rated R movie, you guys do realize that Star Wars was made for a younger audience.
Yeah, you know what? If you want something more adult, go look up keywords on Google here, Star Wars parody porn. There you go. That's mature content right there for you. there's lots of shooting in people's faces and all kinds of things.
Excitingly good time. Also, if you've missed our last show, you can also find us on your Stitcher app. Search Back to Tank. Add us to your favorites. Thank you, and we will see you very soon.
He has to come back in a quick.
I think the Lucifer of that world's gonna kill him.
You think?
Oh.
Boom.
See, I no.
You need to have original Lucifer be the one they.
I think original Lucifer and alternate universe Lucifer are going to be shipped really soon on Twitter.
I think they're going to fuse and become ultimate Lucifer.
Ultimate Lucifer on Tumblr is going to be a ship.
I'm going to actually make that. Hold on, I'm going to get that Twitter handle right now. Hold
I'm
on.
Ship Lucifer with Lucifer. Alternate reality Lucifer with Earth One Lucifer. Can we call this Earth One?
No, don't get started
no,
with that.
Don't.
Let's Come call on. This. What are we going to call this then? Supernatural One?
Ultimate
One?
Ultimate
SBN One. SBN One World One.
That is a terrible name.
What is this, Mario Brothers? I would love to see that on Tumblr. Get it started, guys. Send me your Lucifer fan fiction.
I want to see Lucifer enter Lucifer.
Very meta.
It'll be very Lucy.
Oh. That's horrible. That's horrible.
Wait, which one would be the girl and which one would be the boy?
Does it matter? Why do you got a label?
I'm not labeling.
Why can't you just be both. Two?
I'm just curious which one would be the giver and which one would be the taker.
Don't miss Supernatural The Crossroads every week on Rain Man Digital. Go to supernaturalthecrossroads.com for more information.
Hey guys, did you know that Rain Man Digital now offers a premium service? That's right. Besides the weekly free broadcasts, Rain Man Digital now offers a premium service. And when you pledge to our Patreon page, you automatically become a subscriber. So it's easy. The premium service includes video content, plus additional exclusive shows like Star Trek from the Holodeck, Comic Book Chaos, DC on CW, the best one, Supernatural, The Crossroads, and more. So head over to patreon.com/rainmandigital and sign up today. Bobby, what do we got coming up for our bonus shows?
I don't know. It's Halloween. I was thinking maybe Long Halloween or DC on CW.
Ooh.
I figure it fits, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I figured that would be one that we could do. So
dibs.
We're already calling it. All right. So we'll do Long Halloween this month for DC on CW yes. Presents.
It's a bonus for you and me.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it? Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to AdamandEve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL30 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL30. That's DEAL30 at AdamandEve.com.
Have you missed an episode of DC on CW? Catch up on all of our discussion from Supergirl, The Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow. Just search DC on CW on iTunes and Stitcher. You can also find it on the Rain Man Digital app. Just search Rain Man Digital from the iTunes App Store or Google Play.
You're listening to Rain Man Digital's DC on CW.
All right, guys, we are back. Let's get right into Supergirl Season 3, Episode 2, Triggers. Directed by David McWhirter and written by Gabriel Llanos and Anna Muskie-Goldwyn. I love where this season is going so far. I know we're only 2 episodes in, but they're really, really tackling things like depression and the process of grieving and panic attacks. Like they're really tackling mental health, not even necessarily connected to a specific mental illness, just general mental health and well-being.
Yeah.
Which I think is it's becoming more talked about in our society, but historically has been under discussed, under I don't know, you know, it hasn't been taken seriously for a long time.
Yeah, you're just kind of nuts.
Yeah. Oh, it's in your head. Oh, you need issue. To get over it. Yeah.
Yeah. I gotcha.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
It's a deep topic.
Yeah. I mean, we've been getting some feels. So Lena Luthor bought Catco last episode, so now she is hands-on CEO of Catco.
New age CEO.
Oh, I don't believe in offices.
Yeah.
She spends the episode shaking up the dynamics of the company. Jimmy Olsen's kind of getting a little pissy. You know, Lena comes into the office for the first time, and Jimmy has no idea that she's going to be there. But Kara does, because, you know, she talked to Kara, and she's the one that convinced her to even come back to Catco and take back her job as a reporter after she walked out. And its tensions are weird between her and James, man. She didn't invite him to a staff meeting, and like he got offended and feels.
If you were if Nicole, say you were the boss, how would, like, is Jimmy's reaction proper?
I felt it was proper. Like, this new CEO comes in and I was running this place and then I don't get invited to everything. It's like, what the hell? Am I about to get fired?
Yeah. So yeah, that would be the next step, right?
Well, yeah.
You're not invited to something. Then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute. I'm going to get laid
wait
off.
Wait a second. Yeah.
Do you want an office because you want mine?
Yeah, right? Like everything she was saying and then not inviting him to anything. I don't blame him for getting a little defensive there.
What part do you guys think that Kara should have had in, like, actually communicating this kind of stuff to him?
That's not her job.
Okay.
I mean, within a friendship level, maybe. But honestly, that's not her job. You know, it's it's Lena's job to create open lines of communication with James. Bottom line. And vice versa with James, you know, and I actually really like that he's standing his ground. He's being a little icy about it, but it's true, though. He is the one that has been running this company. He's the one that's been working for Catco for years. And Lena bought it, and she's just trying to come in and take everything over. And it's her company, but he is doing his job and looking out for the company. Because disruptions, even if they come from the owner, are disruptions.
Yeah,
and they could totally throw off the whole... They could throw a wrench in this whole well-oiled machine that they have.
Especially in some kind of, like, monthly magazine, you know.
Yeah.
News publications can't be delayed or... You know, it's not like, oh, well, we didn't have an August issue because we had a new boss. So.
I think they'll figure it out. I think they'll find respect for each other and they'll find how to communicate with each other properly. But very suddenly like that, and Lena dropping in and not letting the company know, I think that was, I don't think in her instance it was... malicious or undermining. I think she was just excited to get in there and see what it was all about, and she found a replacement for herself at L Corp, and she was just ready to go. But you should let your staff know that you're coming in and you're going to be hands on.
Yeah.
And so we see some weird dynamics going on, not just with her and James, but also with Kara, because now Lena's in there and Kara is Kara. She is constantly in and out of the office, you know, between the DEO and Catco, you know, between Supergirl and Kara, you know, reporter by day, but also Supergirl for short intervals in the middle of the day, and then Supergirl by night. She outright refuses, and not like, not in a jerky way, but just like Lena asks her to do something, and Kara, instead of saying, yeah, I have, you know, a contact to go meet right now, but I will get right on that as soon as I get back, or, you know, tackling it in some sort of professional way. She just basically says, oh, yeah, I'm busy. Can I just get that to you later? She was thinking of her more as a friend rather than a boss at all.
Seriously.
And Lena took it. Lena let it slide. You know, she knows Kara's been going through a lot. She knows that this is a new thing. And when you're friends with someone and they're your boss, there can be some weird blurred lines there.
Yeah.
You know, what's too close? What's too comfortable? Well, you know, how do you separate when you need to be professional from, you know, when you just get to be friends and gab about whatever?
And I almost kind of, you know, she spent the last year basically doing whatever she wanted because Jimmy is her boss and knows the double life.
Yep.
You know, it's probably one of those hard habits to break.
Well, and she has the perfect excuse with her job, which James said. You know, he said, well, she's a reporter. She's doing her job. You know, she's in and out of the office. She's a reporter. She's got to go talk to people. She's got to go find stories. You know, she's got to follow leads.
Do you think Jimmy should have stood up for her a little more and said, well, she was already working on something?
No, I think what he did was plenty explanatory, okay. You know? I mean, do you agree, Nicole?
Yeah, I was pretty much going to say exactly that. So.
My bad.
So, yes.
Yes. I mean, we're seeing a weird situation here, though, because, you know, James does know about Supergirl as far as Kara's life is concerned. Kara mentions later in the episode that she's dealing with Lena being there now, which is new and difficult, because Lena's got to figure out something's going on. Kat did. James did. She's got to figure out something. And it's going to go one of two ways. You know, she's either going to be offended that her friend is hiding something from her. And this, you know, not that it's an excuse. It's not an excuse because it really is true. But the whole, you know, I have some baggage relating to Mon-El thing is only going to last for an appropriate amount of time.
Okay, so
it's not going to last years, you know?
Since she's been on, we've tried to figure out how long until she figures it out. Now that they're working together, let's go on the record. how many episodes until she figures out that she's Supergirl?
Come on.
Oh, God. Now I have to think.
Yeah. So, whoever wants to go first. I know that wasn't in the notes or anything, but we gotta have something on record. It's gotta happen now, right?
It's gotta happen.
There's no way that somebody can walk in and out of that office every day.
Mid-season.
So you're going to the Christmas break.
Yeah, mid-season, somewhere around there. It's going to be a catalyst mid-season. That's my estimate.
Nicole?
I'm going to say at least one or two episodes before the mid-season, because it'll build up to something.
So you're thinking that she'll find out, but maybe mid-season will be her confronting her with it?
Yeah, either that or like something big happens and we all think that Lena's going to turn on her.
Okay.
That's going to be my guess.
And mine would have been, if I would have got to go first, would have been mid-season also. I just think that would be the perfect way. Again, we don't really know where they're going with the rain thing yet. You know, we know it's a slow build. But I think that would be something that would be one of those mid-season things of like, we're coming back in February or whenever it comes back. And all three of us would be like, shit, I wonder what's going to happen, you know, with that dynamic now that she knows.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so I'm like the only one that thinks it's going to be before the mid-season. All right, I see how it is.
I think it's going to be somewhere around there.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't specify, but somewhere, something to do with like a catalyst for the plot of the mid-season.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really close to the mid-season. If it's not like the final thing we see, because they could go that way too, but I have a feeling it's going to be at least like maybe the episode before. And then she's going to go off and do something. I think she's going to like disappear or like stop talking to Kara. And then we get this whole, oh God, what's she going to do?
Is she going Luther?
Yeah. Is she going to go full Luther now? Or, you know, I feel like that's where it's going to go.
The ever reaching question.
Yeah. When's she going to find out? When's she going full Luther?
Yeah.
I hate it. So, you know, I mean, beyond that, what kind of, you know, we have to look at now what kind of conflicts or stories even are going to come out of this relationship between Jimmy, Kara, and Lena professionally and personally. You know, is this a good direction for the Kat-Ko storyline to go? I mean, I feel like it was getting stale with Kat gone. I felt like Kat-Ko was serving less of a purpose, except for Kara learning to be a good reporter, you know, with Snapper. That stuff was relevant. But all the stuff with Jimmy at Kat-Ko, it just felt like extra.
Yes, I agree that mm-hmm. last season, it wasn't there for us.
Yeah, I really did not care.
Yeah. Yeah. And
so does this breathe new life into Kat-Ko as a plot device, as a, I don't know, like an entity in the story, you know, Lena being in there, it creates new conflicts, new potential for people's secret identities to get exposed and all sorts of things.
But I think it part of the Supergirl car like juggling act is back where you can't just run off.
Yeah.
You know, because Jimmy's not there to be like, yeah, go take care of it.
Jimmy can't protect you every second of every day at your
yeah.
work.
And I think with having a boss that is there, because, you know, we can say Snapper was there, but he really wasn't.
Right.
Let's say he didn't give a shit. He was busy running the magazine. And I just think adding her in will cause that juggling act again of, well, I want to meet you both at the same time. And are we going to get that kind of stuff again?
Well, I think what's interesting, too, is the specific direction that they took with the first episode, which was, I don't want to be Kara. Kara sucks right now. I'm avoiding that. I'm pouring everything that I am into Supergirl because Supergirl is great. Supergirl is impenetrable. Supergirl is the savior. And now, you know, she came to some terms with accepting that she can't throw away her life as Kara Danvers. That is her. Supergirl is a part of her, but so is Kara Danvers. So is her human, you know, air quotes there, human life on Earth and her human family and friends and all of that stuff that makes up her day-to-day life. And so now this is a very harsh reminder that she's been able to spend all of her time pouring herself into Supergirl and lightly sprinkling in some Kara Danvers civilian life. over the past year, her whole circle of friends knows her secret.
Yeah.
They know her life in and out. They know everything. And she hasn't had to hide. And so now she has to make a decision. You know, do you keep hiding or do you reveal to one more person? And even if you do reveal to one more person, when is that going to stop? When is she finally going to reach a point where she, you know, has let too many people in? Because, okay, Lena's her boss now, but what happens if she moves to a different company?
Yeah,
or what happens if someone else that's just like on the same level as her in the office gets some weird ideas?
Like who?
Well, no one that we know right now, but
always introduce a new character.
Where are you getting all like who?
I was like who? Going into the whole new leader of L Corp, who happens to be our bad.
But she is not at Catco.
But if they're owned, do we get interactions between the two? Because Lena is at the newspaper, or you know, at
But she's not. I don't think she needs to do much communicating with Lena in person at Catco. Her job is to be at L Corp and worry about that company. Anything that she needs to do with Lena, she can handle via text message, email, phone call, lunch meeting. You know what I mean? She might pop in occasionally, but I don't think she's going to be in there all the time.
Okay.
She's running L Corp. That's a huge job. So I don't think, I think narrative wise, this is creating a parallel between her and Supergirl. Even though Supergirl isn't the head of Catco, Lena places that much faith in her that she trusts. She chose her, you know, I can't do this job without you. I can't run this company without you. You are basically my advisor. So she's going to treat them on equal levels of respect, if that makes sense, regardless of any sort of tier in employment. You know, like Kara's a reporter and Samantha is the CEO or the CCO or the acting whatever.
Yeah, whatever title they gave her. Yeah, I just didn't know if we would see that thing to where she's like, oh, bring over Kara, and then, you know, we need a expose on our new leader of L Corp type scenario. Where they start running into each other a little bit more.
You know, maybe. I mean, we're going to watch these characters continue to grow and transform and take these journeys alongside of and intersecting with each other. And I think it's going to be a really interesting season. We've never really gotten to watch this happen this way in these shows before, where we get to get attached to a character and kind of respect them and then watch them slowly turn.
Yeah, most of the time it's, I'm bad, I hate you, smash.
Aw, but then they have a soft side and then we grow attached to them. There's vulnerability there. This is the opposite. We're watching them go from a regular mom who just loves her daughter to villain.
I have a feeling I'm going to cry a lot during this because of that.
The first two episodes have been rough, man. They've been full of feels.
Yeah. Oh, God, I can already picture, like, how it's going to happen.
Tell us.
Yeah.
Okay, an idea from my sometimes genius writer brain, at least, maybe. I could see Rain still losing her daughter. Like, her daughter's going to die at some point, especially if she's going to be dumb and put herself in dangerous situations like she did. Because she's teenagers. But she might still die, and Rain will blame Supergirl because Supergirl will be there. And then that's where we're going to see that dark turn. And then if they happen, I mean, if, like we were discussing, if they saw, if they see each other and they know each other and then they find out each other's identities or whatever and having to keep that a secret, like, well, what if they become friends before she finds out about her real identity? So, like, there's so many ways that this could go, but I could definitely see the daughter dying being Rain's turning point. Forgot her name right now.
Ruby.
But yeah, Ruby.
Well, Ruby or Samantha. Ruby's the daughter. Samantha's the mom.
Samantha. Yeah.
Okay.
I could see Samantha's turning point into Rain being losing Ruby. Holy cow.
Can't argue against that.
Yeah, me either.
And she's going to blame Supergirl, and then it's going to be a thing.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's rough.
Dropping bombs.
Dropping some bombs. You know, that's rough, but I, like Bob said, I can't really disagree with you. I mean, maybe, hopefully it won't result in the kid dying.
Child death.
Yeah, but
my mind goes really dark when I try to think of what would cause this.
Well, okay, to be fair, that's pretty natural. That's pretty normal, especially when you consider things like in Arrow, Laurel was always meant to be Black Canary. But the plan that they had for her character was that she was going to be a lawyer. You know, she was going to work in law and she was going to work in social services and whatever for a while. And she was going to do all of this stuff. Upstanding citizen, cares about helping people, isn't violent, doesn't have a desire to physically fight things. She just wants to do things by the book and by the way of the law. Well, how do you take that character and give her a conflict or a catalyst large enough, extreme enough, put her through a gauntlet that turns her into a physically fighting vigilante? And yeah, with that comes death and things of that nature, usually in those storylines. So I wish I could disagree with you. I hope that that doesn't happen, but it's got to be something.
I'm going to call.
I feel
right
like it's going to be a little bit of a slow burn.
Yeah.
I feel like she's going to be our second half of the season villain.
Maybe? Could see if Ruby dies, I could see that being the mid-season.
Okay.
Rather
her
than Lena
kind of
finding
turning
out
into a nemesis.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, what if Lena finds out at the same time? You never know.
Yeah, that would just make everything just blow up and everything's yeah, I mean, complicated.
The double cliffhanger.
Double cliffhanger.
Honestly, you know, Bob posed the question of, you know, are we going to get that, are we going to get that scene where like both characters know who each other is but attempt to hide their identities, and you know, Supergirl and Rain kind of looking at each other like, I know who you are but I don't want you to know who I am, and I hope that you don't, but I know who you are, but I can't tell you that I know who you are without me revealing who I am, so we're just gonna do this awkward dance around each other.
I know who you really is.
I know who you is, man.
And you know who I is.
Who I is.
That's proper, right?
Yeah, that's
sure.
Proper.
Okay.
That's proper English.
Yeah.
That happened in Spider-Man Homecoming, huh?
Yep. Well, what? The homecoming dance.
Yeah.
Right.
I know you, but also...
I know you.
I can't say that I know you. All right. So, you know, Supergirl writers come up with ways to make a superhero with super strength struggle with different things like trauma and make her look and seem human and show that it's okay to seek help from your friends. You know, it's okay to not be perfectly strong mentally, because who the hell is? This week's, you know, villain of the week was Psy, who is a metahuman who uses fear, much like Scarecrow, except it's telepathy instead of, you know, like toxic gases.
Yeah.
So I think they did this pretty well, because mental fights are pretty hard to show. I think it was appropriate to show little, like, psi beams, for lack of better verbiage there. I thought it was pretty good. It just showed little, like, almost sound wave type visuals to show that there was something being
Something's
thrown
happening.
Their way. I thought it was good. It was subtle, but it wasn't, you know, not there.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't over the top.
Yeah, it wasn't. Something, I don't even know what to say, but
it's hard to describe.
It's hard to
you
describe.
Know those invisible waves of energy that this person is just throwing
think of, like,
with
the,
their head?
The ray gun sound that you sometimes get.
Pew, pew.
You know,
like the toys where you hold down the trigger and it's
yes.
Like. Wee, wee, wee.
Yes. That's what I, like, expected.
And neither one of us made a sound that actually sounds like what
now,
we're trying to describe.
And I'm actually trying to find the sound now, so.
You keep looking for that.
Yeah.
But honestly, I thought it was well done. It wasn't over the top. It wasn't too much. But it showed that there was something going on. And I liked the struggle this week. I really liked the struggle that it presented Kara with. You know, we see Kara having to go back to the team for help, having to lean on other people like Wynn. Oh, I don't think we've seen Kara lean on Wynn in a while. It feels like their friendship has really fizzled.
Yeah.
And that bums me out because he was her best friend.
Was.
I know. It's a bummer. I mean, now she's got this friendship with Lena, which is great and amazing, but also don't forget about Wynn. Wynn's your friend.
He's an adorable little cinnamon roll. Yeah,
he is.
It's always funny when you guys start talking. It's like, do you really want him in the show, or are you guys just like in love with him?
No, I think he's a great character. He's, yes. You know, most of the time he's comic relief in the show, but it's not cheesy.
Although it's hilarious when Alex just basically stared him down and broke him down just with her eyes.
Well, because he's
comic relief.
He's not confident in his physical ability, and also he doesn't want to fight a woman who could kick his ass, or a woman at all, probably. But
exactly. And I mean, she does have that scary, like, mom look.
Oh, she does. Especially to him.
It. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I do like Wynn, and I wish that that Kara would actually work with that friendship more. Like, that's just gone away, and I don't know. It seems weird.
I was honestly just happy because, again, I was really worried last week, not going to lie, that we were going down towards that loner Supergirl way, and I wasn't really sure if the bar scene was going to be like, okay, they're all better.
But they pushed it forward this week. Mm-hmm. They are putting her through this incredibly emotional journey. I'm loving it. And one of my favorite things in this episode was the trauma, the reliving the trauma because of Psy's power. You know, it put her back in that pod. And I thought those visuals were the best of the episode and possibly some of the best we've seen in Supergirl.
I was
those POV, like the point of view in the pod. Yeah. Oh, my God.
So I think I put it on Twitter. I was joking around. I was like, so what amusement park is going to pick up the Supergirl escape from Krypton? Because that's what it felt like. You
Dude,
know, it,
I swear.
Right? You sit in that thing and you felt like you were flying out of it. And I was like, all we need is some 3D glasses and this seat to move.
Yes.
I'm into
it. All right, theme parks, get on it.
Yeah.
10 out of 10 would ride that ride.
Yes.
Like 100%. I'm into it. Let's do it.
Yes.
Someone pick that up.
Yeah. Because you already have the video. So it looked perfect.
Yeah, it really did. I loved it.
It was gorgeous. And it really put you in her shoes. You know, what would you be feeling if you were a young girl whose planet was on the brink of destruction, literally right on the brink, and your parents, with not much warning at all, just put you in a pod by yourself and said, hey, you're going to a new planet. You're going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. You're going to be okay.
Don't worry.
We love you.
There.
You're never going to see us again. Everyone you know is going to be dead, except for your cousin who got sent there as an infant.
Just make sure he lives.
It's fine. Don't worry. And then you watch your entire planet just like explode.
Yeah.
That's
a great childhood right there.
That's traumatic. I mean, like, really, that is some fucking serious trauma. That really is. And she doesn't really talk about it a lot. I think she's had a lot of time to kind of get over it and move on and move forward. But visually reliving that again dug everything back up, and it makes perfect sense. It's completely reasonable. That was a really, really horrible thing for a child to go through. That was the most perfect thing that they could have brought up as far as fear and past trauma. Plus then later on in the episode, once it happens for what, like the second or third time, she has this potentially false realization that what she did to Mon-El was a death sentence and that she killed him. You know, she put him in that pod. She killed him.
She did the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Sent him away.
But she feels like, you know, I think she's just finally tapping into the fear and the concerns that she has, which is like, if he's alive, I would have heard from him by now. You know, why haven't I heard from him? Why haven't I gotten a message of some sort saying, hey, I'm out here, I'm alive? Which is natural. And I was sort of worried that she hadn't said anything about that yet. You know, I mean, last episode we saw her really, really struggling and she was having a hard time even communicating about any sort of feelings towards that at all. You know, oh, I'm fine. Mon-El, you know, it doesn't matter. I just have to shut things down and be stone cold and that's that.
Yeah, real snappy at people.
Yeah. But honestly, I mean, that had to have been festering in her for a while. You know, why haven't I heard from him? Is he okay? Is he dead? Is he stuck in limbo somewhere, you know, like I was, off course, just drifting? That's rough, man.
Yeah.
It's a rough time. And the Alex finally came through on the support end and said the right thing the right way.
GG, Alex.
Because she struggled with that last episode. And that was just simply from lack of experience in the matter. But this time she really pulled out all the stops and she said, no, you did what your mom did. You did that to save his life. You did that to, you know, you sent him away so that he could live. He's alive. So, yeah.
Yeah. And also, can I just say that the acting in that scene also was amazing.
Yes.
Like her breaking down like that, it was perfect. I loved it.
It was really good. They never let us down in those emotional moments.
They really don't.
Alrighty. It's time for yet another break before we get right back into the episode. Can't stay at home. Adam and Eve wants to give you more with free gifts. Go to adamandeve.com and you'll find over 18,000 adult entertainment products, including toys, lingerie, and a seemingly endless selection of adult DVDs. And there's more. We're giving you 10 free gifts. A gift for her, a gift for him, plus a special gift you and your partner will both like, plus 6 full-length adult DVDs and free shipping. So head over to adamandeve.com and enter offer code RAINMAN at checkout. All right, let's get back to that psi power. Let's talk about that that fear blast that she has. I don't even know what to call it. Fear blast is fine.
Call it whatever you want.
Throughout the show, we saw different triggers appear for different things. You know, snakes, Kara's Universal Studios ride from Krypton. if she was to walk into the studio right now, Nicole, you first. What could she do to trigger you?
Ew. Ew. Oh. That's me first because I have to think about it. Well, I have no idea.
Oh, honestly. Come on. There's got to be something that freaks you out.
Well, there's plenty that freaks me out. Bring up. Okay. All she has to do is.
Wait, really quick. Are we talking?
I have to think about this.
Are we talking like emotional traumas, like life traumas, or just phobias?
Well, we saw every different kind of one.
Like
honestly, for me, I have this weird thing about like snakes and reptiles. It's just like they creep me out the way they move, everything about them. Like
even my gecko.
I don't know that. To me, that's just like a dinosaur that didn't make it, and so it kind of adapted to be something else. But like snakes and stuff flip me out. It doesn't matter how small it is, how big it is. Clowns. I mean, you guys have seen me when people dress up as the evil clowns at conventions, to where I just fucking flip out. And like Ryan will be like, go take a picture with him. I'm like, dude, you want me to go beat the shit out of that guy right now? Because you know, if he comes close to me, I'm going to punch him. My other one that I know for sure is little kids chanting. Like, I can remember going to, like, Tijuana, and, like, the lady was, the little girl was just like, chicle, chicle. And, like, it was, like, this weird hallway, and my friends just made fun of me because they've never seen me, like, whimper about, like, an 8-year-old girl just sitting there chanting, trying to sell gum over and over again. I'm like, she needs to stop. I'm flipping out.
She needs to quit this.
She did knock this shit off right now. Here's $20. Get the fuck away from me.
Okay, okay. Now that made me think of
she
had to do.
Yeah.
The kid from The Grudge. And his mom or whatever. That whole movie, I can't watch any paranormal anything anymore because of The Grudge. Like, the noise doesn't bother me that they make I don't give a shit about that. But, just the beginning of the movie when the guy walks into the room and he looks over and you just see these pair of wide-ass eyes staring at you over the bed. That shit creeps me out. So anything paranormal, how about that? That, yeah. I don't really care about the noise.
It's just exaggerated vocal fry, guys.
It really is. Which we
this
do
is
that
sexy.
It's so sexy.
I don't like it in my ears like that, though. that was unsettling. So not in an extreme way. It wouldn't like actually trigger me, but like I will cry if there's a cockroach in my vicinity. I will cry, like break down, hyperventilate, like tears, cry. I can handle spiders as long as they're not on me. But cockroaches? Nope. No. No. Hard pass. I am really afraid of heights, but not heights specifically. Falling. Terrified of falling. So I can't climb rock walls, even like, you know, harnessed in and everything. I can't do like elevated obstacle courses. If I'm strapped in to something like a roller coaster or something like that, totally fine. If it's like a ride, I'm fine.
Yeah. So you were fine at the fair the other night.
Yeah. I was fine. Well, okay. So,
so about that.
So I went last weekend. I went to our state fair, but then I also went to a local Oktoberfest, and there was a Ferris wheel, and it was real like shaky. So if I'm not secure feeling, hard pass. Anyway,
that's why you've never taken a circus class.
Well, I mean, I did take one. So, but moving on from our fears. Let's close out with what seems to be the beginning of the end of the Maggie and Alex engagement. So they start off the episode, just little innocent disagreements, you know, band or DJ, which we put a poll up on our Instagram, I think, right?
Yeah, hold on. Keep talking. I'll figure out what
better.
It is that right now.
I voted for band. But,
I know. I saw both you vote.
And then Alex makes a comment. Alex starts talking to Ruby, Samantha's daughter, Rain's daughter. And Maggie comes up and is just like, oh, wow, I didn't know you were so good with kids. She's like, oh, yeah, it's a thing. Like, it's fine, you know, when we have kids, blah, blah, blah. And Maggie seems to not want kids. And it turns out they've never even talked about it.
Yeah, the look on Alex's face.
They've never discussed whether they both want kids or don't want kids or whatever. They've never had that discussion, which seems like a huge thing.
Yeah, like, why would you? Do not discuss that if you're going to ask the woman to marry you.
Right. So Alex seems crushed when Maggie's just like, I just never really saw myself as a mom. I hope that's okay.
Yeah, the look on Alex's face is like, well, this might be done.
It just seems like they're coming up with, there's just more and more things that they have to disagree on. And it's incredibly important to talk about these kinds of things. Family goals, career goals. You know, does one of you want to be a stay-at-home parent? Do you even want to have kids at all? Is one of you willing to pick up and move if the other one gets their dream job? Where do you see yourselves 10, 15 years down the line, 20 years, 30 years? If you're marrying someone, that should be the goal. And you should be communicating. You know, for instance, okay, Nicole, what's a deal breaker for you?
Well, it's pretty much Alex and Maggie's situation. I don't want kids. And if, you know, my partner is like, I want to have kids, it's going to be like, oh, well, you know, it's a hard no on the kids for me.
Let's get a dog.
Let's get cats and dogs and bunnies and ferrets and just have like a zoo of animals. I'm good with that. But kids, I'm good. So that actually happened in a previous relationship. So
yeah,
that was the deal breaker.
I'm pretty, I'm still pretty undecided on where I'm at with what I want in the future. But I'm pretty flexible as well. And I think the only deal breaker for me is a lack of flexibility on my partner's part. You know, like if...
In the bedroom?
I was about to say, yeah. Physically?
Yes, physically. You have to be very flexible. No, like, I think that you can work through anything. If you find the right person, you know, maybe kids aren't, like, if you're not totally sure, if you're dead set on something, then, you know, that is what it is, and maybe it's not going to work out. But I'm not dead set on, okay, well, here's where I need to be in 10 years, or, you know, I need to have a kid or two or whatever, and a house with a picket fence and whatever. But I think... the only real deal breaker for me is someone not willing to make an effort. You know, I was in a relationship where someone wasn't willing to let me pursue my dreams because or any goals that I had because they were too busy going, well, if you go do that, that means you're leaving me. Well, no, I might be physically like going away from your area for a short amount of time, but I'm coming back or we can make things work or whatever. You know, it's just. That's the only real deal breaker for me is trying to control me and not willing to compromise or at least talk things through to come to a solution. And dishonesty.
Yeah.
If you feel the need to lie to me, we're done here. You know, like that's not, if you lie and come back to me and say, hey, I lied. I'm really sorry. I wasn't truthful. Then okay, that's fine. But you know, we're moving on. Anyway, that's
but
it.
It's definitely that's something it. That it should come up and we all can see the ending coming.
Yeah, I think that's the writing on the wall is there. There's all these little disagreements. There's at least going to be a lot of friction and a temporary breakup, if nothing else. But they've already done a temporary breakup. So where do you go from there? What new, different thing? On that note, Bob, do you have any final thoughts on the episode?
A recovery episode by far for me. I was worried that they were going to that deep, dark place with Supergirl like Flash was kind of last year, and they snapped back real good. Like, if they took away the season premiere, like in the DVD, Blu-ray, Netflix thing, and said this was episode one, I would have been like, cool. You know, cool with it, just because it felt more of a new beginning type scenario for Supergirl.
I just really like the visual effects in this episode. I think they're some of the top that we've seen in this show so far. It was so good. I love the emphasis that they're putting on mental health and the struggles that one can have, not just physically, but seriously mentally. I mean, Kara had a panic attack this episode. I think that's incredibly important to recognize that, you know, that can happen to someone who maybe doesn't even have like actual mental illness, but just got overwhelmed and is going through a really crazy hard time. So I'm loving the direction this show is going. Nicole?
I'm also loving the direction. And yeah, I agree with you on the mental health thing. It's huge. It's a part of my life. And seeing that focused on in this episode, it was awesome. I love that they're tackling this kind of really hard topic to ever bring to light and helping to bring even more awareness to it. So I really liked it.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for today's DC on CW Supergirl edition. Remember, you can always catch any past and future DC on CW episodes through the Rain Man Digital app. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at DC on CW. Facebook.com/DC on CW, and our Instagram is @DC_on_CW. We will catch you next time.
Remember, stay tuned. Legends will be coming up next.
I'm Supergirl.
You're who now?